get involved. It doesn't matter if your teenager's musical or not. I just love them. I just love to see teenagers get involved with the church, get involved with God, get involved in serving, and it thrills my heart. But you know, the devil, he'd want more than anything else in the world to destroy them, to get them serving him, doing something else other than serving God. And so that's why we need to pray for these teens. And, you know, you see the people all over the church. You can see teenagers, and you see them up here singing and all that. And you might think, oh, well, you know, pastor calls on them to sing. Pastor talks highly about certain teenagers or whatever. They need our prayers. Every single one of these teenagers needs our prayers, because the devil's just waiting. He's waiting to pounce. But thank God we have some that are just wanting to be used in any area that God wants to use them. So take your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. I only have a few verses for you tonight. And a couple of points. It's going to be the message itself is going to be pretty short. And then afterwards, we'll talk about the program, and we'll talk about, and we'll answer any questions that you have. But hopefully this message will help strengthen our faith, help us get a little bit excited about what's happening, what's going to go on here at the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, look at verse 15. The Bible says, I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have, say this word with me, addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Look up here if you would. You know, the first time I read this verse, I was actually surprised. I was very surprised. Years ago, I read this verse in the bus ministry, and it was around program time. And I came across this word addicted in the Bible. It's the only time this word is used in the Bible. And I said, surely that can't be right. Read it again, looked up some concordance, Googled it, and no, sure enough. This word right here is the right word. Have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. When you think of the word addicted, a lot of times, at least, maybe I'm weird, but when I think of the word addicted, I always think of it as a bad thing. I always think of it as somebody that's out there strung up on some drug somewhere that's, you know, just addicted to drugs most of the time. That's what you think about. At least that's what I think about when I hear the word addicted. I hear about, or I think about somebody that's dependent on something that's not good for them, and it's tearing their life apart. But when you look at this verse, it says some people were actually addicted to the things of God. There were some people, some saints, that were addicted to ministering to other saints. They were addicted to that. You know, the definition of the word addicted, there's many different types of definitions, but the ones that I've chosen for tonight, it says physically and mentally dependent on a particular substance and unable to stop taking it without incurring adverse effects. Enthusiastically devoted to a particular thing or an activity. You know, when I think of an addicted person, I think of a person that has a drive for whatever it is that they're addicted to. There's all different types of things that you can be addicted to. And apparently the Bible says that we can be addicted to good things. But when I think of an addicted person, I think of a person that's thinking about whatever it is that they're addicted to all the time. They're thinking about it all the time. Even right now, if you're addicted to something, while I'm preaching right now in the house of God, you're thinking about whatever it is that you're addicted to. You're not listening to the sermon. You're not even caring about what it is that's being preached right now. Whatever it is that you're addicted to, it's going through your mind. Those are where your thoughts are going to be at. That's what I think of. I think of a person that is addicted. I think of a person that's talking about it all the time. Somebody that every time you walk up to them and say, hey, brother, how you doing? They somehow interject whatever it is that they're addicted to into the conversation. Oh, I'm doing great. By the way, did you check X and X? Do you know about this and have you heard about this and this? Man, I had a great time doing whatever it was. And there's some people in the church, listen, you know, I used to think, and me and my brother, we used to make fun of my dad. God forgive me, but we used to make fun of my dad because we would always see my dad. And every time my dad would talk to somebody, he'd always have to mention God somewhere in it. And as a kid, we would see him talk to somebody. Here it goes. Here it goes. Me and my brother would sit back and be like, watch, we're going to be here for a few hours. He's like, oh, I'll be real quick. I'll be real quick. There was times, my mom will tell you, we'd sit in the parking lot after church, just us, the security guy coming around. You guys okay? Yeah, my dad's inside. Oh, yo, Pastor Aaron, yeah. And he'd talk to people, and every time, it's always about, they'd start talking about whatever. They'd start talking about sports. They'd start talking about whatever it is that they love. And then all of a sudden, my dad would throw it in there. He'd say, let me tell you a little about Jesus. All right, that's our cue. Let's go to the car. Let's wait. But they're talking about it all the time. They're thinking about it all the time. You know, another thing about addicted people that I think about is they surround themselves only with people that are addicted to the same things that they're addicted to. I mean, they don't want to hang out with people that are not in on the thing that they're in on. They only want to be around people that are telling them, hey, this is awesome, whatever it may be. And they find themselves gravitating towards people that feed whatever it is that they do, their habits. They surround themselves with those. And here's the thing that's really interesting about an addicted person. They would rather have their addiction over their necessary food. Take your Bibles and turn to Job chapter 23. Job chapter 23. Look at verse 12. I just want to read a verse to you. Job 23:12, the Bible says, neither have I gone back from the commandments of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my, what? Necessary food. When you look at an addicted person, a lot of times, and if they're addicted to drugs, a lot of times they would rather have those drugs than they would a meal. They would rather have that sensation that they get when they do whatever it is type of drug that they do than eating for that particular day. They would rather have that. But I want to bring your mind back to the Word of God in 1 Corinthians 16:15, this verse. It's so interesting because the Bible says that some saints were addicted to the ministry. They were addicted to God. They were addicted to the things of God. So there is a good type of addiction. So we already know about addiction. You've seen it. You can spot people that are addicted to things. But the question is, how do I become addicted to the ministry? How? How, Brother Aaron? How do I become addicted to God? How do I become addicted to reading the Bible? How do I become addicted to this thing? How do I get sold out? I see people. I see other Christians, and they come to church, and they're always happy all the time. And I see when we ask for them to come to grow, they show up. Believe it or not, they actually show up. It's crazy. And I see when they're out and about, they actually carry tracts with them, and they actually lead them in places, and they actually tell people about Jesus. There's people that are like that. How do I become one of those people? How do I become that? I want that. Well, if you want that, I'm going to give you just a few tips on how to become addicted to the ministry. The first thing that I want you to do is you can write this down. It's not going to change your life, but if you apply it, it just might. But this statement itself won't change your life. But the first thing is, remember when you first got saved. How do I become addicted to the things of God? Well, just remember when you first got saved. Listen, when you witness to somebody, when a person gets saved, you don't have to tell that person to want the things of God. You don't have to tell that person to read the Bible. You don't have to tell that person to come to church. They just want it. They want it more than their food. They want to talk about it all the time. They want to hang out with the brethren when they first get saved. Do you remember, Christian, the time when you first got saved? what it was like when God in heaven reached down and he touched your heart and he changed it from that old corrupted heart to a heart that was alive. You came alive that day and something coursed through your veins. It was something different that you've never felt in your entire life, and you had to have the Word of God. You had to have preaching. You had to have the Bible. You had to have it. You wanted to be around the brothers. You wanted to do everything that they asked you to do. We're opening the church for church cleaning, and you were there. You'd come up to the church sometimes when there wasn't service, just to talk to somebody, just to see what was going on. When you first got saved, the hunger for God was there. The passion for God was there. The zeal for God was there. That sense of wanting to do for others and wanting to read your Bible, it was there. You know, when I, as a child, because I got saved at a young age, and I remember reading the stories of David and Daniel and Joseph, Moses. And I used to read these stories, and I would say to myself as a kid, I would say, God, I want that. God, you used a teenager once in your life, in his life, and he loved you, and you called him the apple of your eye. God, I want that. I want to be a David, God. I want to be a Moses, God. I want you to use me like you use these men. Because it was exciting. God changed me. He did something in my life. And it was real for the first time. It's like reading the scriptures for the first time. That first time when you're sitting down and you start reading through the passages and God gives you a nugget of scripture that's just for you. Oh man, it'll make you want to shout. Oh, it'll make you want to call somebody. It'll make you want to talk to a brother. Call him on the phone and say, hey man, listen, I was reading my Bible today. It was so awesome. God spoke to me. I was going through a hard time, but God talked to me. He touched me. And they're on the other end like, amen, brother. But it was real. Was there a time in your life, Christian, where it was like that? You can have that again. It's not something that's just, oh, well, that's the honeymoon phase of Christianity. And it'll just fade away. Listen, you see an addict, and they will be strung out on whatever it is until the day they die. But they got to keep using. They got to keep using. So the first thing that I wanted you to realize about this is you have to keep remembering. The times you get stale in your life and you feel like, you know what, coming to church is just old hat. It's the same old thing every Sunday. The songs that I sing now, they don't mean anything to me anymore. There was a time when I would hear Amazing Grace and I'd hit the altar. There was a time when they get to that part where it says, it saved an old wretch like me. There was a time. But a lot of times now we listen to these songs and it's old. Oh, the old timey. And I hear people, they come into our church sometimes as visitors, and they say, oh, you guys still use the old hymnals. Listen, those old songs would be new in your heart if you just kept remembering. If you just kept remembering the first time. The first time that God spoke to you. The first time that that song was awesome to you. The first time and the only time when you accepted and asked God to come into your heart and he did something real in your life. Listen, I don't know your story, but if you're in here and hopefully you are saved, that's a special thing. It's your testimony. And that right there, it can preach anywhere you go. You don't have to be a preacher to tell someone your testimony. You don't have to be a teacher, a song leader. You can just be you and tell other people what God did in your life. And some of you have great testimonies of God's deliverance and what he did for you. But do you remember that first time? You remember what it was like when you got saved? How exciting it was, the things of God, the things that you would learn at church. But see, as a kid, I'd learn all these new things. And I'd be in class, and I'd hear about David, and I'd hear about Moses, and it was all new to me, and it was exciting. still exciting. It's still exciting when I read about Moses and David. It's still exciting. Why? Because in my life, I read about those stories and I say, God, I want that. God, use me like you use those men. The second thing that I want you to remember is remember what God saved you from. The first thing was remember when you first got saved. But the second thing is remember what God saved you from. You say, Brother Aaron, what'd you get into as a 7-year-old boy? I was a bad kid. I was a pretty bad kid. My parents don't know. I'm telling you now, so now they know. I'll probably get spanked when I get home. But I was a bad kid. There was lots of times. I remember my dad used to shake his head sometimes. He'd shake his head because I get into fights at school. All kinds of things. I can't disclose everything. We're on Facebook Live. But when God saved me, I knew something was different. I remember going to a birthday party. Listen, nobody taught me this. My parents didn't sit down. At the early stages of my salvation, my parents were pretty fresh. They were pretty in church, and it was all new to them too. They weren't seasoned veterans. My dad wasn't a pastor. He was in the military. He read his Bible occasionally. These are the promises of God, son. Nobody had to tell me this. I remember riding in the car with a friend. We were going to a birthday party. My parents allowed me to go to another child's birthday party, and we were in the car. And I'm riding along, and a song came on that I used to hear, and I used to dance to. I used to love this song. I had just gotten saved, and I heard the song, and something in my spirit said, it's not right. I love this song, but that's not right. You know, it was so hard for me to sit there that I eventually said something. I said something to the driver. I don't remember who she was, but it was a lady that was driving me to wherever we were going. And I said, can we change the song? And she's like, oh, you don't like this song? And I was like, well, I used to like it. I don't know why I don't like it anymore. Listen, you might have been saved from a life that was ruined and wrecked. And when God saved you, he made it all new. And there's some of you in here that you might have the ability to love God more than I do. I was only saved at the age of 7. What did I really get into? I tried. There was things that I got into. There were sins that I got into and things that I did. But I still needed the Savior. But listen, some of you in here, you know what it was when God reached down. And my dad will tell you his testimony. Before he got saved, he wasn't a good man. I don't remember that, thank God. And his testimony, he'll tell you. He used to drink. He used to smoke. He used to chew. He used to do all the things that the world says this is okay, and it gets you addicted to them. But the day that he got saved, listen to me, the day that he got saved, he came home riding his motorcycle, singing a song about God. He went to the refrigerator, got a trash bag, and put it all in. He went to the movie closet, got all the tapes, and put them all in. And he said, no more. No more. I don't want to be chained up anymore. I don't want to be addicted to this anymore. I want to be addicted to Jesus. Amen. And from that day forward, listen, I've never heard my dad curse. Not one time in my life. Not one time. I've never seen him drink. I've never seen him smoke. You say, oh, Brother Aaron, is that what we're talking about today? No, I'm just telling you, the effects of addiction, they're there. But God, listen, you can get addicted to God more than you can get addicted to that. You can be dependent on God more than you can be dependent on that. You can have the victory. I remember as a college student, sitting around the corner, listening to my dad talk to the hospital, the doctor, on the phone. And I could only hear one end of the conversation. He doesn't even know that I was there. I was behind the door listening. Because I thought to myself, one of these days, he's going to slip up. There's nobody that can be a Christian that just can be that holy.
I mean, I know that God, I know that he cleansed them for all this, but come on. And I'm sitting behind the door listening. My dad's talking to the doctor. And apparently the doctor must have asked him, have you ever smoked? And all I heard was this. Wow. Yes. But the last time that I smoked, man, that was back in 1920. No, you're not that old, Dad. But whatever the year was, and I was like, really? Praise God. Praise God. The doctor went on, must have said, have you ever drank? Wow. Goodness. The last time that I drank, it was probably, it was that, whatever that year was. And you know what I thought in my mind? This is what happened to me that day. I said, God, he's more powerful than the addiction in this world. A Christian can truly get saved and give up things and love God and do it all the way through. That's why you listen to Miss Laura's testimony and you say, here's a saint that's been doing it all these years, and it strengthens the younger ones. But you got to remember what you were saved from. What kind of broken life did you have before? That life wandering and drifting with no hope. When you were there, don't you remember that? Do you remember the time when you called out on your knees to God and asked God to help you? Did he come through? There was no way out. When you felt lost and you felt depressed and there was nothing to live for. Or some of us, we were blinded by our self-righteousness. I'm good. Pastor Robinson will tell you that's his testimony. He thought, I was good. I'm good. I'm not a bad person. Until the Bible's open. Until you realize that God says, hey, nobody is perfect. And the Word of God is illuminated and it shows you just how wicked you are. But God saves you from that. So here's the third thing and the last thing I want you to ask. I want you to ask yourself, when is the last time that I've seen God work in my life? When's the last time? See, this point right here, this hits home to me. This right here, it breaks me down. Because a lot of times in my life, when people ask me things, and they say, Brother Aaron, have you ever seen God work? I say, yeah, I have seen him work. But you know what? A lot of times it's in the past. A lot of times the great things that I've done for God, they've been in the past. Oh, I can sit here and tell you the days. I can bring you the plaque that was awarded to me in Bible college for having over 1,000 baptisms in 1 year on my bus route. Oh, and people stood and they cheered. But what are you doing now, Brother Aaron? What are you doing now? And we could sit here all night and talk about all the times that God used to do things in your life. But what are you doing now for God? Where's the broken hearts now? Where's the people that sit beside us in church now that we brought off the streets? That we came into church and we saw the homeless man and said, hey, you want to come to church with me tonight? Oh, but we used to do that. And I used to. Listen, if I were to ask you to raise your hands, we would all be embarrassed. If I were to say, hey, what did you used to do for God that you don't do anymore? We were talking in pastor's office and he was talking about all the things that I used to do. And I remember telling pastor, yeah, I remember. Oh, yeah, for 3 years I was going out to the juvie and I was preaching to those kids in the juvenile detention center right here in Killeen. And he's like, how long ago was that? And I'm like, I don't remember, preacher. I know I was here when I did it. I know it was here at Victory. But you know what? This point right here, it broke my heart. Because all the things, listen to me, and I'm just trying to be real with you. I'm not trying to be mad at anybody. I'm trying to help you get addicted to God tonight. But it breaks my heart that all the triumphs for God were in the past. That God's not doing something right now in my life. And that's why I need this program. This is an opportunity for you to see how God can work. I've seen families get back together. Your wife, Brother Gary, Miss Mina, got saved because of a program. Somebody invited her to church. She came to church because of a program. Listen, if you can do this, you go out and you witness, you say, oh, well, nobody's going to come. Don't have that kind of attitude. I preached on faith to the teenagers. God wants to use you. But I want you to think about the last time that God's done something real in your life. Don't look back at, oh, well, I got saved back in 19, back in 18, back in 17. I used to do a bus route back in 1300. What are we doing now? Where are the people that we're supposed to be witnessing to now? Where are the lives that are supposed to be getting changed now? And listen, you can be mad at me all you want. You can sit there and say, oh, well, you know, I'm to this or I'm to that. All I know is when you look at an addicted person, they don't care how old they are. They don't care if they have enough strength. They just want whatever it is. And they will go out and they will find whatever it is, type of monetary sources, so that they can pay for their habit. Listen, when you think of program, when you think of lives change, when you think of witnessing to people, you should want to do any and everything that you can so that that person can have a new life. The one thing that will keep you fresh as a Christian, if your Christianity's gotten stale, the things of God don't excite you anymore, you know what the one thing that'll keep you fresh? The one thing that'll keep you fresh is when you look into someone's eyes. You share the gospel with them. You in and of yourself might think they're not going to get saved. They don't want to hear what I got. They're just trying to blow me off. And then all of a sudden they bow their head. And they say, I want to pray. I want to ask God to come in my heart. Really? Wait. You really want to ask God? Yeah, I do. I know that I'm going to go to hell if I don't. I want to ask God to come in my heart. Okay? And when you see them go from death to life, son, oh, the fire comes back. The amen in church comes back. The reading Bible comes back. The getting on your knees comes back. Why? Because that was a baby that was just born and you witnessed a miracle happen. And then you remember the time that you got saved. And you remember the life that you came from. And you say, God, thank you. I am nothing, God, but you used me. And then that life comes to church and woo. And then that guy or that girl or whoever it was, that family, they come down the altar. They get baptized. They join the church and you say to yourself, that was God. I saw God today. It makes you want to call your brother. It makes you want to call your mom, your dad, your friend, and say, man, you're not going to believe this. I went out the other day, and I was passing out a tract, and I met this guy. He was walking down the street. He had a little kid. And his girlfriend was right there, and we just pulled over, me and Brother Aaron. And I jumped out and I said, hey, if you died today, you 100% sure you'd go to heaven? And the guy kind of looked at me and said, no, I'm not really sure. So I took out my Bible and I started witnessing to him. I didn't know if he even got it. I didn't even know if he was understanding it or not. And he said, I need that. I'd like to. That just happened the other day. I was right there beside Pastor while he was doing that. And we're sitting there, we're just standing there, and the guy's like, sure, I'd like to do that. The pastor's like, oh, you would. Well, you know, do you know what I'm talking about? I'm not even joking. He said, do you know what I'm actually telling you right now? And the guy said, I think I do. I mean, you said, you know, sins and, okay. Well, let me just explain it again. So I'm standing there, and he's going over it again. And he went over, he said, now do you understand this? And the guy's like, yeah. And he said, do you want that? And the guy's like, yeah. And he's like, oh, okay. All right. And so we start praying. Death to life. Guarantee you he was a new person when he got home. Now, I don't know what the conversation was when he got home to Miss Stacy. But I'm sure there was somewhere in there, man, I had a good day today. I had a pretty good day today. This was crazy. We witnessed to a guy, he got saved. Listen, that's what happens when you see somebody get what you got. That's what happens when you pass out a tract and somebody receives the Spirit of God in them. You get rejuvenated all over again. And then you know what it does? It makes you want to get another one and another one and another one. Think about it. Don't answer. Don't raise your hand. When was the last time, or if ever, that you personally witnessed to somebody and they got saved? If it was last year, probably too long. If it was last month, probably too long. If it was years ago, or I've never done it, probably too long. Like I said, I'm not mad, and I don't want you to be mad. I just want you to understand that the used-to-be freshness that you used to have when you got saved, it can come back when you see this, when you see somebody accept. The last thing, I want you to be able to come and just pray and just ask God. Whether it be, God, help me to continue to do what I am doing, great. We have some soul winners in this church. We have some people that are doing all that they can. But if it's been a while, we need to come to this altar. We need to hit the altar and pray and ask God to help us. Show us the next person that we need to talk to. Always be aware. See, the thing about it is, and like I said, this is the last thing. The thing about it is this. If you're not constantly looking for that person, if you're not aware, if you're not spiritually aware and looking for that next person that you can witness to, God just might send that person to someone else, and you won't get to have a part in that blessing. That's why the message that Pastor preached this morning about the rewards and about the future, that's real. It's a real thing, and there's going to be a lot of tears in that day, because a lot of us, including myself, we waste a lot of time doing things that they're not going to matter. But this right here, it matters. It matters, and it changes lives. Would you stand with me? I'm going to turn it over to Pastor, and he can do an invitation how he wants to. I'm going to come back after and talk about the program.
Let's just spend some time in prayer tonight for a few minutes. Just so your own self, you say, I'm a little nervous about all this. Why don't you pray, ask the Lord to give you some strength, give you some encouragement to do this. He's right. We stopped the other day, and we were going out, prayed, went out, pulled up. We saw some people. We said, just pull over. They pulled over, and honestly, when we pulled over, they didn't know what to think. He has tinted windows, and they took off walking fast, trying to get away from us. And we jumped out and said, no, come back here. So they came back. They witnessed to them, and it was a blessing to get to be a part of seeing somebody trust Christ as their Savior. It was a blessing. So if maybe you're nervous about that, ask God to give you some strength to do that. And ask God to show you something real this coming up month. Let's spend some time in prayer tonight. I'll pray with you, and then she'll play, and we'll give you a time to pray as a group. Well, God, Father, we love you, and we thank you for the message, and ask you to please bless in the hearts of these people. And Father, you change lives tonight. You'd help us to get a boldness about us in this thing that we're about to do. And that, Father, you would kind of rejuvenate us a little bit. Father, maybe we've seen some things happen in the past, but we need to see some things happen in our present. And so, Father, I pray that you'd please help us in this program.